Well, if you've been paying attention, you'll know that May is Melanoma Awareness Month, and I'm joined on the line again by Jane Pennington from Melanoma Focus. Hello, Jane.
Hello there, Neil. Thank you very much for having me on the radio again. Fantastic.
Thanks for coming back on. We talked a little while ago about 100 miles in May, didn't we? And so tell us about Melanoma Focus and tell us about 100 miles in May.
Okay, thank you. Melanoma Focus is a charity that's based in Cambridge. Some of your audience may already know about us. We're based in the YMCA building. That's our meeting room for once a week under normal circumstances. At the moment, we're all working from home. And our charity is particularly focused on melanoma, which is the most serious form of skin cancer. And we commission and fund new research into the treatment and causes of melanoma, whilst also providing support for both patients and their carers, and also healthcare professionals. So we have a very wide remit. We have also have a membership for professionals, clinicians, scientists, and nurses at our very core. So everything that we do is based on the kind of scientific knowledge and most up-to-date research and levels of kind of knowledge of melanoma.
And what's the purpose behind Melanoma Awareness Month? Is it exactly that people aren't aware of the problem?
Yeah, I mean, it's the perfect timing. Melanoma Awareness Month is always in May. It's a global initiative to raise the awareness of melanoma and the seriousness of it. Everything that we can do to mitigate the risks of getting melanoma. And so that you've got lots of charities involved, putting messaging out, you've got lots of people joining in if they've been affected by melanoma. It's a big initiative to really drive awareness of the seriousness of melanoma forward amongst the public and get people involved in that messaging as well. So that's where one of our initiatives has been this challenge that we've set up. So 100 miles in May. Specifically timed so that we get everybody involved with their personal messaging over this month.
Presumably the original aim, for as I recall, was actually to do 100 miles in May, but that's a bit of a trick. I mean, all right, you are allowed now out for unlimited exercise, and I guess that does help, but not when we were first talking. You couldn't, could you?
No, that's right. We were all under lockdown, so actually achieving 100 miles in May and fundraising was quite a stiff challenge, really. People were having to think of new and innovative ways to take up that challenge, whether it was kind of doing their laps of the garden like Captain Tom, or whether it was on their static bikes and rowing machines and so on. But now, of course, that's changed. We've just had our regulations changed by the government, and we're allowed out a bit more to do more exercise. So we're hoping that should let people take part more easily in the challenge, and it'd be a bit easier to clock off the 100 miles in May. Wow. So the challenge was discreetly based in May to start with. That was what happened for 2 years previously. But due to COVID, we've extended it, and it now runs until September the 30th. So I'm just about to change all the marketing to say, we're open June, July, August, September. If you'd like to take part, that's absolutely amazing. And of course, that's all perfect timing as well, because the sun will be getting stronger and everybody's starting to, think about sunbathing and all the rest of it.
Well, so many people are now working from home now. So many people I talk to go, oh, yes, well, I'm going to grab my lunch, and it's great. I can get some time in the garden. And so there's a bit more of a risk, isn't there, of people actually spending a bit more time outdoors?
I think we're all spending a lot more time in the garden, and, the children are out a lot as well because they're off school. So and it's really sort of instilling that awareness and self-care, I guess. It's thinking about, really taking care and taking those precautions when you're out there in the sun a lot during the day.
Indeed. Well, one person who unfortunately has had first-hand experience of exactly what we're talking about is Shelley Campbell-Birch. She's on the line as well. Hi, Shelley.
Hi, Neil. Thanks for having me.
That's okay. Tell us your story. You're a sufferer.
So May for me marks my first year cancerversary, as I call it. It was a really surreal, emotionally challenging journey this time last year for me. We'd just come back from an amazing trip around America, and unfortunately, on arrival back to the UK, I'd spotted a growth back in January and sort of, dismissed it a little bit. Had a new growth on the back of my scapula. It was next to an existing mole that was there. And on holiday, I realised, finding my mole, it was increasingly getting itchy. And obviously I was increasingly getting more concerned. So I realised once I got back to the UK, I really needed to investigate this a little bit further. So it's a year since my first surgery. And since I've also had more, I'll go into a little bit more detail shortly. So yeah, May for me is a really important month because it is Melanoma Awareness Month, but actually personally for me, it's been a huge, huge journey over this last year.
And were you able to catch it at a fairly early stage?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm extremely lucky. My staging was a stage 1A malignant melanoma. It was radial. So knowing the signs from, you know, an early diagnosis, you know, it was January, I definitely knew it was there since when I first spotted it. I actually got married in 2017, and whilst I was wearing my wedding dress, I'd actually had a low-cut wedding dress. I looked back on the photos to see, and I could see it wasn't there then, so I knew it had come about between 2017 to 2019.
Right.
And yeah, the signs, you know, the ABC characteristics, ABCDE, were a real good eye-opener for me to realise I needed to act and get some help, really.
So how did you check? How did you find out that this was? Before, did you just go to a doctor, or did you use some other way of sort of self-diagnosing?
Yes. Yeah, so initially in the January, it was my husband, thank goodness, he noticed this on my back. But it was actually on arrival back to the UK when I realised there was something not quite right with, you know, the change in size. Obviously, it evolved. It was really black. I didn't want to go to the doctor, first of all, because I felt a little bit silly. I was like, was I being overreacting, or, you know, was I just being over the top? So I downloaded an app called Skin Vision. And just before I talk about this, it's really important to know that using this app alone, you know, you shouldn't just use that. You should go to the doctor no matter what if you are worried. But actually, for me, it was a fantastic way to give me the confidence to go to the doctors. It's an app you can download on your phone. It's got a 95% sensitivity rate. And my husband took a photo of the spot, and it came back within 30 seconds with a high-risk assessment.
Wow.
And I was able to get the information from the company as well. They contacted me personally and said, I really do need to go to the doctors. So it was invaluable for me, really. I went along to the doctors literally the next day, and the doctor took one look and did say, you know, you need to go onto the cancer referral waiting list, which is obviously very surreal being told that. I was very matter of fact at the time, but actually once I came out and realised what was happening, it was all, you know, a really emotional journey, to be honest.
I can imagine, because it's always a scary time, isn't it? But where are you at the moment? Is that it? Is it, it's been treated and it's gone, or what's the sort of follow-up package for you?
Yeah, so everything's going really well at the moment. Just going back to last year, so what basically happened on the 5th of May was, after 2 days after going to the doctors, I was on that referral list. But actually, I was in Coventry Hospital ready to have some screws removed, actually on my honeymoon when we were in the Maldives in the April, which is where I do finally believe my melanoma was triggered, to be completely honest. Bit of an unlucky honeymoon with some respects. I broke my wedding finger, but my husband actually saved me as well. I had a panic attack in the sea, and then I got really burnt. So it's a bit of I needed another honeymoon, I think, after that experience. It was quite a holiday. I was actually in the surgery on the Sunday, and I explained to the surgeon that I was actually more concerned about my back rather than my finger. That wasn't anxious, you know, making me anxious at all. And I was exceptionally lucky. The surgeon, Mr. Elfecki, could understand how anxious I was and took it off there and then brought me for the biopsy. So I had that, waited for 2 weeks. So that was my first surgery. And then I had my local excision to make sure the cancer was removed. And obviously a wider margin was taken, and that was in the June. So that went really well, a bit of recovery. And then I did unfortunately have to have another one in the October on my face, but that's luckily came back benign. And then at the moment, I'm just going through every 3 months, I'm having checkups with my CNS nurse. So I was due to have one, but obviously understandably at the moment with the coronavirus, that was cancelled. However, she's brilliant. I just phoned her up, you know, sent in a photo of my scar at the moment. So I'm a little bit concerned. I can see a bit of pigment on that. But we're going for another appointment in June. So that's fantastic. They're looking after me. But, you know, you can just phone up straight away. I can send anything off of my app as well. And I just feel really, really supported by the NHS. They've been absolutely amazing. So, yeah, very, very happy with everything at the moment.
Okay, well, good luck with all of that, obviously, because it sounds like the journey is ongoing, and it sounds like this is something that people do need to just regularly check, regularly, just because you've had it treated once doesn't mean it can't come back again. You've been doing 100 miles in May, though, so how have you been getting on with that?
Yeah, I've really enjoying the 100 miles in May challenge. So for me, I wanted to take part. I heard about it and I thought, what a fantastic way to, you know, acknowledge the work that Melanoma Focus are doing, but also skin. And actually for me to personally reflect. So it's been brilliant sort of sharing my story openly. You know, I've got a bit of a personal journey in terms of how I feel about sharing my story. I was really worried at first whether I should. I was concerned, you know, about whether people, you know, thought I might be attention seeking or actually, you know, thinking the worst of me. But those irrational thoughts, I put them aside and I thought the best way was to try and fundraise. So I've been doing 3 miles every day. I've been taking my dog Lily out each day. She's absolutely loving it. She doesn't know what's going on because she's never had so many walks twice while I'm off work at the moment. But I've also, on the other days, I've not been able to go outside, whether it be the, you know, the weather, etc. I've got a treadmill in my garage, so my husband's been exercising alongside me whilst I've been doing a nice walk. I'm currently 18 weeks pregnant, so I don't want to do
anything. Oh my goodness!
But we are, yeah, I'm really, really enjoying the challenge. And actually, I'm certainly going to continue with making sure I have a bit of me time. You can get carried away with work and before you know it, you know, you can end up just be doing things for school as a teacher. So actually, I'm definitely going to carry on with doing some walking in the future as well.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, well done. You're raising all that money as well. Jane, if people want to get involved and find out more, is it still time to get involved?
Yes, absolutely. If anybody anywhere in the country would like to take part in 100 Miles in May, they can do so up until the very end of September. And just get in touch with me for more information. And my email address is jane@melanomafocus.com. And we'd love to hear from you. Perhaps I should add, with trying to encourage people to develop a skin safe and a sun safe pack before they go outdoors, to have all their kind of kit ready and to really think about that. So if you've got a broad brimmed hat, think about that for getting out in the sunshine and creating a shadow around yourself. If it's broad brimmed, you'll see the shadow around yourself and cut down the amount of sun. Have your sunscreen ready. Make sure that that's SPF 30 or above. Do apply it to yourself as well as your children. Often we forget ourselves. You know, we prioritize our children over and above a lot of the time. Yes, put the sun cream on both of yourselves as you go out. And then also to think about your cover-ups as you go out. So if you've got bare shoulders, you make sure that you've got some clothing available. And seek the shade when it gets super hot. Just make sure if you're getting burnt at all or if you're feeling yourself go red, make sure that you seek the shade and look after yourself. Avoid the burn.
Excellent. Well, that's all sound advice. But for now, thank you very much indeed to Jane Pennington from Melanoma Focus and Shelley Campbell-Birch. Well done. Thank you for joining me today.